a bank can be a coach for you. It can be someone on the team.
Welcome to the Women on the Move podcast from JPMorgan Chase. I'm Sam Saperstein. Women on the Move is a global initiative at the bank. It's designed to help women grow their businesses, improve their financial health, and build their careers. In our last episode, we talked to Elaine Myers, whose focus on meeting her clients' needs led her to be named one of the top wealth managers in the country. Today, we'll speak with Rebecca Boleen. Rebecca's path to launching her own business, Greenery NYC, a botanical design company, is fascinating, and you'll hear all about it in this episode. Rebecca, I would love to hear about your career background.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And I think I've had a really interesting career path. You know, my business, Greenery NYC, is all about large-scale plant installations. And we're mostly focused in New York City, though we occasionally do work outside of the city. And I came to it in sort of a really roundabout way. It should start really at the very beginning, which is that I love plants, and I've always loved plants. I've always had a really deep affinity to nature. Some of my earliest memories are of being a toddler and looking at my mother's lilies, and just all, I can really see a lot of milestones in my life as sort of being plant-centric. When I turned 18, I sort of had this great feeling that I wanted to move to New York City. And I just had that deep draw, something magical about the city. And of course, plants don't jive with New York in my brain.
Right.
And I really wanted that sort of Sex and the City experience. I thought, oh, I'm going to move to New York City, get an office job, wear a pencil skirt and high heels and be fabulous. I've always been a really ambitious person. And I've always been a person that, you know, when I set out to do something, I sort of have that dream. I really want to achieve it. And part of that I actually attribute back again to nature. When I was growing up, I ran cross country. And a coach, when I was growing up, it would always say, attack the hills, right? That's the time that you gain ground. It's like, it's when everyone else is getting tired going up the hills, that's when you put all your energy forward, and that's when you surge ahead. And that's always been one of my mantras. So I managed to get a job at Random House, which was a dream come true. And so I started there as an editorial and publishing assistant. So I was working with a publisher in the audiobook world. But this weird thing happened, where the higher I got on the ladder, the more miserable I became. And it sort of woke up one day, and I went to my office. And at that point, I had a really awesome corner office, had assistants, I was getting bonuses, I was signing up major books, and I was crying. You know, I was just sitting there crying after lunch, and I had to really ask myself, like, why am I so unhappy? This was the dream. I am like Carrie Bradshaw. I've got the pencil skirt. I've got the office. I've got all the things. And I really had to do that soul searching to say, like, where's this coming from? And I started making lists. What do you like to do? Do you not like to do? And I really kept coming back to this idea of an interaction with nature. A position opened up at Brooklyn Botanic Garden for an editorship. So they were looking for someone with pretty big editorial chops to work at the Botanic Garden. So they were going to launch a new website. They needed someone to essentially study with the curators there, who are the master gardeners, and then distill down all that information into articles, photography, books. So I essentially got hired for going to the best urban horticulture school of all time.
This is like the perfect job you could ever imagine for you.
Oh, it was amazing.
A publishing background, focusing on content all around plants in New York City, and a landmark of New York City.
I know. And it was a $30,000 pay cut from what I had been making.
Mm.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, well, I just have to get a bunch of roommates and find a cheap apartment and eat spaghetti. Like, this is what's going to have to happen. And then after I go through this process, because there is a finite thing, right? Once the website launches, then I'll reassess, like, what is my role here and what I'm going to be doing.
So that's great, a period of time where you knew there was a limit to it.
Yeah. And when I had been working at the Botanic Garden, I started moonlighting on nights and weekends. So I was doing garden design and some horticultural work for some, like, high net wealth individuals, some board members, people that would come into the garden that would ask, like, oh, they'd see me puttering around the rose garden, say, oh, would you be interested? Would you come help me? My roses are suffering.
So that's a really interesting first connection with clients and potential clients. So you use the current job you were in to connect with people who just come to the garden.
Yeah.
And they would start asking you questions and then would hire you on the side privately to advise them.
This is like what you had to do if you were going to work in a nonprofit institution, right? I was going to have to keep freelancing. I was going to have to find private clients. I was just going to have to make this work. And it was sort of one day I was working for, at that time, one of the creative directors of Google in their private space. And I was like, yeah, you know, I think I could make this a business. Although at the time I had no idea what to charge. And actually the wife of the director pulled me aside one day. It's like, I don't actually know how you're doing this. You're not charging us enough. And that was just one of those like mind-blowing things. I was like, is she actually telling me I should charge them more? Because I had still had that deep guilt of like charging people money for like horticultural skill. It seemed like something I should just be doing it for the goodness of my heart and right. to make people, you know, connected to nature. And she was definitely one of the, I don't think she knew it at the time, but hugely influential in my sort of mind thinking, being like, oh, people will pay $50 an hour, $85 an hour, $100 an hour so for this kind of skill.
Really important, the value of your work. How do you set that? How do you have the confidence to ask for that? You know, what would you tell other people who are thinking about a business, other entrepreneurs, in terms of really understanding your value?
I think that's, I would say, particularly for female entrepreneurs, that's a huge issue, is how do you value your work? And I think that being on the other side of this 10 years into this business, when I look back, I'm like, oh my God, I did so much free work. I wish I had known. And I think that it really starts with looking at the marketplace and doing some research. At the time, like, I didn't realize, like, there are tons of people doing garden design in New York City at that point, tons of companies doing that. And while the information probably wasn't readily available online, like, I had enough connections at that point. I should have been asking around to be like, what's the going rate for an hour of garden maintenance? What do people charge to design a space? You know, I sort of operated in this vacuum of not asking for help and not really doing the due diligence of finding the information. So I sort of set these rates for myself of, like, what I thought people would pay. And it was wildly wrong because they would have paid way more. And it sort of took years for me to build up the confidence. I think even for myself, getting that skill set and then building a portfolio to say, I've really created spaces. Now I actually have value.
Right.
And, you know, now when people approach me, you know, we have set minimums that seem to me still really high, but it makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, when you start to build operational costs and I have 28 employees and all of these things, like, that's the sort of thing that you have to think about, you know, that I didn't really understand at the time was, how do you navigate this operational expense, income, all, you know, a balance sheet, figuring all of that stuff out? And I think that was a huge hurdle for me, really, for the first 5 years of the business. I didn't have a business background. My parents were public school teachers. I never had access to entrepreneurs in my life. You know, we would sit around the dining room table and talk about, you know, the moral lessons of Star Trek. We weren't talking about, like, how one started a business.
And so who helped you? Where did you find the resources?
Well, you know, honestly, I think there are a couple of places. So one is SCORE, which is a New York City institution that helps small businesses and sets them up with mentors. And that took me a long time to come to the realization that I should be seeking mentorship in this. And the other was, honestly, one of the biggest things that happened to me was getting a good CPA. And I had been operating with a bookkeeper that, like, wasn't great for a while, sort of like a part-time thing. I didn't really understand what my, you know, there was money in the bank account. And I was like, great, so I'm doing well. I didn't really understand it all. And I finally, through SCORE, actually got introduced to a CPA who had more of a construction constituency. So he had been working with a lot of companies and female-funded companies, female-owned businesses that worked in construction. So he sort of, and essentially, that's kind of what gardening is at the end of the day. It's building things and it kind of is a construction business. So I met with him and, you know, he took a look at my books and he was just like, whoa, you are making money, but you do not understand what you're doing. And these books are a mess. And, you know, quite frankly, if you don't start approaching, like, getting a line of credit and thinking about some of these other things, you're going to put yourself out of business because the way that you run through capital isn't smart. And I didn't really understand that. I was like, well, what do you mean? There's money in the bank account. He's like, well, what happens when you land, you know, a $75,000 job and you need to buy the materials? So I was like, oh, well, I'll get the client to buy the materials. He's like, no, that's not generally, like, when you get to the upper tier of construction, like, that's not usually how it works. You need to have... you're going to have to be able to put some money in for that and then wait for that to come back in 30 days. And I was like, oh, he's like, yeah, that's what the line of credit's for.
Right.
And I was like, line
lesson.
Of credit?
Right.
What's that?
Tell me more. And so how did you discover what that was all about and then finally use one?
So I reached out a friend of mine who had worked in the wedding planning business, had been working with a coach, a business coach, and she introduced me. So I sat down with Holly and she sort of gave the exact same feedback that the CPA had given, which is like, you are making money. This is a great business, but you are, like, in a really serious phase right now of major growth. And if you don't have access to these things, you're going to be in big trouble, you know, in a few months from now. And she's like, you know, who are you banking with? And I was like, well, I've been banking with Chase. I've had my personal accounts with them and it just seemed natural. I'd open my business accounts with them and I have the Ink card. She's like, well, you need to talk to them about a line of credit. And I was like, I don't know who to talk to and I don't think that they're going to give me money. This is, you know, I'm like a lady in a garage with a gardening company. Like, I just didn't think that anyone would give me capital. I thought that I would have to, like, take out multiple credit cards and, like, figure that part out. And it really took someone to say, you know what, let me make an introduction. I think why don't you just go in and meet them?
Did you think you had to be bigger or more established or something else?
Yeah, I think maybe I thought I had to be bigger, but I also think like at that time, like I perceived myself in a weird way of like, you know, I was working out of a garage. I had like dirty.
It was still your hustle.
Yeah, I was hustling. Yeah, it wasn't really, even though I had employees at that point and I had liability insurance and it was very street legal, you know, I still had dirty fingernails and like ripped jeans. And I was still sort of like flying by the seat of my pants, sort of like, even though bigger jobs were coming in, I felt like I was always, you know, that also that I think typical female thing of like, maybe I'm a fraud. I don't really know what I'm doing here. So maybe I'm not real. And if I actually go and talk to like a financial institution, they're going to expose me.
Someone will tell you that.
They're going to be like,
it's over.
Yeah, it's over. You can't run a business. You don't know what you're doing. Just close it down now and, you know, cut your losses. So I think I was really scared of like walking into a bank. And I think I also had this perception from, I don't know, you know, liberal upstate New York of like banks being this sort of like evil big institution, that it wasn't actually people working there. It was just like this automatic thing. And there was just going to be like a room full of like old white men being like, no, 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 no money for you. So
I hope that was not your experience.
Not my experience at all. So when I, you know, finally got the introduction, you know, first and foremost, I was so impressed. They came to me. I was like, they came to my business. Like, I didn't have to go to the bank. They were like, we'd love to see your business.
We do make house calls.
Yeah. They came to the, at that point, I was still working out of a garage and I had actually just given birth to my son. So I had a little bassinet in the back of the garage and an employee. And, you know, the space where I work is literally filled with dirt and plants. I mean, there's thousands of plants there. And I was just like, tried my best to clean it up. But I think my, you know, it's maybe like 6 weeks, I had my son there and they came in and I just was like both embarrassed, but I was like, I've got to do this. And it was just such a positive experience, A, that they would come there. And then, you know, Giovanna and Syed, when they came, they were like, this is so cool. What you do is so cool. And I was like, you guys think so? They're like, yeah, it's amazing. Why don't you show us your books? And I was like, okay. And I, you know, basically had prepared all the files. Like I had talked, you know, to CPA, I knew like what I needed to have printed. And I sort of like slid the papers over in the folder and they looked at them and they were like, wow, nice. Good work. I was like, oh my God,
relief.
I'm really doing it. Wow. And sort of that validation was huge for me. And it was sort of a major step. And they were like, okay, so talk to us about what's coming next for you. And I just wanted someone to ask that question because I had so many ideas and I knew what I wanted to do next. And I was like, well, here's the thing. You see where I'm working. This is a crazy garage in Williamsburg. I need more space. I need to have to hire more people. Here's the thing. And I sort of showed them like the contracts that I had. And, you know, I have these sort of annuity maintenance contracts. So I have a lot of money coming in. I had been signing up big deals. I was like, but I'm worried because I don't know that I can actually build these things here and I've got to find a new space. But in order to do that, I need kind of like $60,000 in like a month or two.
And so did you ask for that at that very meeting?
I did. I told them what I needed. And, you know, similarly to that early client, they were like, you need more. You know, you get to think about this. Like, yes, you probably do need to think about an SBA loan. And they sort of explained to me what that was. But then they also are like, you know, you also need this line of credit. Like, you need to be thinking future. You're just looking at, like, getting the space. You're not thinking this through of, like, getting these contracts and what that actually means for you. If you sign up a client, you know, what does that actually mean for A, producing those materials and B, increasing staffing to meet those jobs?
Right.
And then once you close those jobs, you're only going to get
more jobs, presumably and hopefully.
So that sort of future thinking of, you know, I've always been really scrappy. You know, I've always been a little bit scared of debt. I've never wanted to take on sort of more than I can chew. And I think I also needed maybe permission from a financial expert to say, listen, you're doing a great job.
And you can do this.
And you can,
and
do
you can
this.
Afford this. And it's a good
afford
idea.
It. And it's a good idea. And listen, here's what the payment terms are. This is not, you know, for you to be paying this amount of money a month with the income that you have coming in. This isn't crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But you need this access to capital.
And so, Rebecca, when you were going for financing, you want to expand. So use it also for new facilities. What else did you do with additional funds? You know, how did you develop new products or innovate or go after new clients?
Well, a big thing that Greenery NYC does is this sort of integration of technology with plants, which is, you know, traditionally in this industry, people who love plants tend to shy away from technology. So when I sort of started landing these bigger jobs, you know, one of the big things in my industry that is a big hurdle is maintenance, right? Everyone wants to have lots of plants surrounding them, but what's really hard is maintaining those plants. They're living beings and they need care. And if you're going to bring them into the indoor environment, then a human's going to have to be able to provide those care. So you will see these really beautiful walls that essentially are completely automated devices. They incorporate their own watering and grow lights. Really cool thing that I developed essentially that I would have never been able to do if I hadn't met Giovanna and Syed that day and gotten the money to say, okay, cool, I want to build this thing. And I remember even, you know, probably at meeting number three, which they kept coming back to my office, which I was, again, very impressed. They didn't make me go to the bank until the very end to sign the paperwork. But, you know, in meeting three, I started showing them, you know, the drawings and what I was talking about. And just, again, the same, like, that belief of being like, this is a really cool idea. Like, being someone else sort of, like, completely outside the realm of plants or anything else, being like, we would want this. This would be great for the Chase offices. This is a really cool product. Like, yeah, you got to go for it.
So, and before we wrap up, I'm really just curious, what would you counsel other women who are thinking about starting new businesses to think about and do?
Well, I think first and foremost is ask for help. I think that was something I was really reluctant to do when I first started my business. I think that I was both reluctant to sort of look for where help was and then go ahead and ask for it. And I wish now, looking back, that I had discovered, you know, as you said, sort of like that a bank can be a coach for you. It can be someone on the team. I, you know, I remember early in my business walking around, I probably had like $20,000 in checks. And I would just walk into like a random Chase and like deposit at the ATM. You know, it's sort of like, and now I have such a different relationship with the bank and sort of my relationship advisor and everything else that I wish that I had gone in earlier and been like, hey, I'm an entrepreneur. I want to find someone to help like this, build a relationship with who can help me understand my business. And also just looking and seeking for mentorship. I think that, you know, if you don't come from a business background, it can feel really intimidating to start a business. It can be really hard to do because you don't even really know some of the very beginning steps. But there are so many people out there and it's as easy. I wish I had applied sort of the ambition and like everything that I did to achieve in my other careers that I did to start my business. I wish I had been relentless in emailing other female entrepreneurs being like, how do I do it? Do you have time for a phone call?
Right,
I just have 10 minutes of your time? You know, and I never did that. Again, I think I came from this place of like, oh, I'm a fraud. They're going to know that I don't really know. And now, again, being on the other side of it, I love it when people reach out.
Thank you very much for joining me today and talking about how you started a business, Rebecca. I just wanted to say we learned a tremendous amount. We're very inspired. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks to Rebecca Boleen for sharing their experiences and advice with us. I can't wait to visit Greenery NYC and see firsthand how Rebecca's vision has come to life. Over the course of this series, we've introduced you to leaders who bring our company's culture and values to life. Tune in for our next episode as we round out our first season with two of my close partners, Raquel Oden and Toy Wigley. On behalf of JPMorgan Chase's Women on the Move, I'm Sam Saperstein.